Shop with Rakuten and you'll get it. What's it? It's the best deal. Great cashback rates and more savings on your shopping. So join Rakuten and start getting cashback at a variety of brands like Marks & Spencer, Mango, and Selfridges. You can even shop the sales and still get cashback. Just start your shopping with Rakuten to save money at over 500 brands. Join for free at rakuten.co.uk or get the Rakuten app. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Make this summer's adventures more extraordinary with Audible. While you're lounging by the pool, tending the garden, or road tripping to your favorite destinations, dive into Atmosphere, the captivating new release from Taylor Jenkins Reid. This Good Morning America book club pick launches readers into the fascinating world of 1980s NASA, where one woman's astronomical dreams collide with unexpected love. With over a million titles to explore, from beach reads to gripping thrillers, Audible transforms summer downtime into an adventure. Remember, there's more to imagine when you listen. Start your perfect summer companion with a 30-day free trial and get your first audiobook free at audible.com/wonderyuk.
My name is TJ Raphael. I'm the host of Liberty Lost, a new podcast about who gets to be a mother and the control of young women hidden behind the veil of faith. Binge all episodes of Liberty Lost ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Hi everyone, welcome back. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're wondering where part one was, well, go check in the feed and be sure to subscribe so that way you always get your episodes. But enough of that, let's get right back into the episode. So, anywho, Stephen Jr. is mad because he didn't make an iCal reminder for himself, and now we can blame everyone. So now he's going to pull Jesse up from the city house to go help with this meet. So Jesse has to go driving up there to the farm. And, you know, and it's like, and Jesse's all like, oh man, Galena needs to figure this shit out because I'm down in the city. So they're going to go and they're going to deal with this meat situation. And then Jesse's like, this is the exact reason why I hate coming down here to the city, because if there's a problem, of course, there's always problems on the farm. I'm an hour and a half away and now I got to get all my crap, head north and figure out what the hell's going on. Here's an idea. This is a crazy idea. How about you say no and then Stephen has to call someone else?
Maybe he should call
your lady.
This poor girl. This poor girl. Because then he's like, hey, this poor city girl. Hey, Allie, I'm going to have to head to the farm. Like right now? Yeah, I wanted to. And then she goes, well, I wanted to have this thing together, but now you're leaving. Go on, girl. Give us nothing.
She can't even come up with a thing.
I wanted to have this thing together. What? Thing?
Just say edible arrangement, say Starbucks, just come up with something. Find a brand planning. And use it. Wedding planning, brunch.
And he goes, if it wasn't something this important, I wouldn't be leaving. The brisket delivery. I mean, listen.
Literally get another person to haul the, like.
Yeah, the body. Steven needs another body. But
where's Cole? Where's Kala? Well, I get Kala. Get someone.
I would love to see Kala. Holding
get Tessa, there's giant things of brisket.
See, at least well, Tessa would give us a good running commentary while she's doing it. This is heavier than the time I lifted my ex-boyfriend out of a hot jacuzzi in Milwaukee.
Now I gotta say something here about this here meat. This meat is heavy, and if we had some Coca-Cola beans, it wouldn't be nearly as heavy. So yeah, I don't know why we're doing all this. It was much, but this is way too demanding for me. Hey, did you see that flyer the other day? It was good fonts, wasn't it? And such. You think it's gonna be a McBee or a McShea? I don't know. Nicole Kidman is gonna be there. She's supposed to say some nice kind words. So we're looking forward to it.
Why are we holding all this brisket? We can just be doing the flyer business. I've really been getting into different fonts. Comic Sans is my favorite.
I have an internship with something called Canva. I don't know what it's about, but they hired me, so I'm going to go up into there. She's like slowly going to work her way up the tech ladder.
And then she looks in the camera. Here's my code, Cal. What's her name?
Tessa.
Tessa 20.
Tessa 20 for 20% off your Canva discounts. So they get to the... First of all, you know what really stressed me out?
What?
This really...
Holding the meat with their hands?
No, well, that was stressful because it was very cold and they wish they had gloves. And I'm like, again, another failure on Steven's part for preparation. Mm-hmm. The way that they had, the way they struggled to open the door to their own meat locker.
One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two. What is wrong with this door?
Why? This is worse than the summer house door. Why did they close the door like that? Why? Like, this is.
God forbid, door should not be that hard to open. I mean, what if you leave your keys in there?
One, two, three. I thought they were going to find Masha's dead body in there at that point. Well, I was like,
I wouldn't put it past Galina. I don't know where the corpse came from.
I don't know what happened. So they have to bring all this brisket down to the barbecue spot. They're already 90 minutes late because I guess he waited for Steven to get there like a dum-dum. Why don't you start loading it up? Why are you waiting for Steven? Get a head start. Like, come on. Like, do the work.
Yeah, and then Steven Jr. is like, it's our first delivery to Arthur Bryant's. And then you get to the flashback with the guy working there. Yeah, we try to run it pretty thin, which is important that you communicate if something's going to be late or you can't hit an order. It's like, thank you for spelling out this storyline.
Exactly. And of course, he doesn't communicate with them. And I misspoke. I said they was waiting for Jesse, not waiting for Steven.
Oh, yes.
So they're loading up all this brisket. Okay. And Stephen's like, I'm focused on making this deal, bro. I mean, the new owner has a bunch of different businesses and restaurants. So this deal is so much bigger than it already is with the brisket. And like, it has the potential to be so much bigger. I am angry. The producer said I should be angry. I am angry. So I am hoping this relationship with Arthur Bryant goes smoothly. No issues.
I'm going to go dark. I'm going to go dark if this doesn't go through.
So they arrive and the guy's like unhappy. He's like, well, I know this is the first go around and everything like that, but we really need it here at 6 and not 8:30. So we're going to get brisket on this morning right at 6, which means we could probably get it off somewhere between 4:30 and 5. I'm like, is this an SAT question? How fast if a brisket's going at 90 miles per hour?
If the brisket goes at 90 miles an hour, what kind of sauce do you put on top of it?
How fast does it take Ted Lasso to fly over from London to eat our brisket sauce?
If Ted Lasso eats one of our sandwiches at 7 p.m., what time is he taking a shit?
The correct answer is once per hour on the hour, because he's been eating a lot of his biscuits.
It runs right through.
Runs right through. Brisket. So the guy's like, he basically shames him. He's like, yeah, so now we're going to run out of beef at 5:30. So that's your fault. Sorry, sir. So now Steven's like really upset about all this. And Jesse's like, but why is it my problem? I mean, if he's in charge, if the deal fell through, it's his fault. Exactly. Sorry. If you're in charge, you still shouldn't be on top of this. If this deal is so important, why are you just, you know, why you're not on top of it? Why you're not reading your checking the times and when things are?
Why are you having so much shower sex instead of doing your job?
Yeah, I'm not really even really sure what the issues with Galina is. It that Galina was supposed to schedule someone to be there to break the meat down and she never did, so they have to do it the last minute.
Yeah, no, it is unclear if she had been working. Would she be the one trying to open up the freezer door? Is she making the calls?
Also, is this really how it's done? If someone ask for like 4,000 pounds of brisket, does it really come down to one guy throwing brisket in the back of a truck and another guy with like a calculator saying, okay, that was 20 pounds, okay, next, ready for the next one? Like,
oh yeah, that stresses me out. The manual addition of the poundage, that stressed me out.
We don't have like barcodes that we can scan that, like,
or
like
God forbid we write something down.
I was like, what are you doing?
Carry the four. That's a 1,100.
One wrong. One typo or something.
Sorry, I got to start over. Take it all out of here. My, like, type A fucking very, like, grade focused student was not okay with the way that they were adding up those pounds.
No, they should have, everything should have been scanned. Like the weight was already like in a database somewhere, scan it and like a checkout or something like that. Him sitting there with that calculator, I literally was like, I don't know if I could watch this show anymore just based off the stress of this scene.
Yeah, I'm curious if we're supposed to expect that this is going to ruin the brisket deal, or are we going to be seeing a recurring theme of that Ted Lasso barbecue loving restaurant?
I think they're going to have a redemption arc and it'll be okay. So Steven Jr.'s like, now they're like, they're leaving. Steven Jr. is still mad. He's steaming mad. And he's like, 2.5 hours late. I mean, 2.5 hours late. Fucking shit show. I was going to go to my CrossFit today and now I can't. Okay. I don't know what my wad would have been. And guess what? Galena's just gone. She went dark, by the way. I don't know if you heard. She went dark. And there's been no one knowing what to do. Nothing could have happened. Whenever she's good, she's a rock star. But whenever she's worried about Dad and Masha, okay, it's like you can't even break her out of the singular focus on Dad. You know what I'm saying? You're Steven. Jesse. I keep calling myself Steven, but I'm Steven. You're Jesse. You know what I'm saying? I'm confused. I'm mad.
I'm mad. I'm going dark. And then it flashes to Galena having the saddest. I'm preparing a full romantic evening with you. I'm going to drip chocolate sauce all over your penis. And then I'm going to put a cherry on your nipples. It's like she's so in love with this man. We see the saddest ways that she's like, and I am going to be so happy as long as I'm with you. Cut to, they break up 4 seconds later. And every flashback where she's sweet talking him, he looks terrified. Steven Sr.
Disinterested. This man, this man's a piece of shit. So now Cole is arriving to help with baby gender reveal prep. And we have a song from our country, Trixie Monocle. And this is the song to play for the gender reveal, which goes, they'll be burning down the barn. They'll be letting it all hang out. Trading cowboys on the dance floor while the band is playing loud.
Another banger song.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, was that cut from Sinners? Did they repurpose it here? Because let me tell you something, there was some real soul in that song. Real beautiful, real beautiful.
Maybe, actually. I mean, it does lyrically match the the plot of Sinners.
It does, actually. It does, actually.
Yeah.
So they're setting things up and everything. And, I almost forgot about this part. They're setting up and Casey turns to Jesse and goes, guess what these are? And he goes, fruit pizzas? No way.
And then they cut to a round piece of dough with some sort of creamy sauce underneath chopped berries.
Please.
I shudder to think what is going on this fruit pizza.
This Pinterest travesty that descended upon Bravo in this moment, I will never forgive it. Now, I really hate berries. I've come a long way. I can eat berries now. For a while I couldn't. So I do not like strawberries or blueberries or raspberries.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. But I'm like, it's not official exposure therapy, but I'm trying to lean into a concept called maturity.
Sure.
And realizing that you can eat a strawberry and it won't kill you and you can be an adult and just eat it and it's fine. But that being said, this fruit pizza is such a travesty. I could not.
It's so embarrassing to like see a family secret recipe be revealed on a national network television show and for it to be like the nastiest. Like, can you imagine like telling someone that your childhood favorite treat was something that was absolutely disgusting and then to put it on a TV show? I'm sure Twitter and Reddit are all dragging this fruit pizza. Unless people actually like it.
I'd say it's the other way around. I bet people are like, oh my God, it's actually secretly really good. I think like there's inherently nothing wrong with like berries, some sort of like creamy sauce, and, like, bread. Like there's inherently nothing wrong with it, but it's the branding that really makes me so mad. The fruit pizza, I cannot get behind.
Let's follow something else. It's almost like Mama's beer cheese. I think like I at first heard that and I was like, there's no chance anybody would want to partake in but now I'm like, I would swim in some beer cheese if I had the chance.
I actually love beer cheese, but I would say but I do love beer cheese, but I think there's something about like calling it fruit pizza. There's like a wink in it. Like, isn't that funny? It's like fruit arranged on bread, like pizza. There's something that I feel like they think it's so much more clever than it is. Maybe that's what it is. It's like, this is stupid and I don't like you for it. You know?
Yeah, and then of course Calla walks in going, "Oh, cute." And it's just like,
oh, that's how you know. That's how you know, because Calla thinks it's cute. And she's going to tell her friends in Dallas, and her friends will be like, "That's nice, bitch, but you said you were going to be moving here, and now you're up there eating fruit pizzas." So.
Yeah. And then after Calla walks in, my favorite thing is how the music all of a sudden becomes like scary. It's like Sinners soundtrack. It's like all of a sudden they're she's all like, so devastated she's there.
She's like, "Can I come in? Let me in, please."
Can I please come in? Why are you asking to come in? You never asked to come in. Well, what do you mean?
I just want to know if I can come in now. Stop being silly. Let me in. Let me have some of that fruit pizza, huh?
Never did I thought we'd do a Sinner's vampire callback with Calla and the fruit pizza.
It's actually so rude to the legacy of that film that we are now adapting it to Calla and the fruit pizza.
To the McBee dynasty.
It's like literally the exact, it is truly like the exact opposite of what that movie is all about.
You know what Sinner's reminds me of? The second season of the show that was not on, the first season was not a problem, now the second season is. It's called the McBee dynasty.
Can you imagine watching The Sinners and be like, "Ugh, this really reminds me of McBee Dynasty." Be like, "Get out of this theater right
now." Get out, yeah, truly.
So they're there. So she's there. Everyone's like, "Oh my God, she's back. I thought she moved to Dallas. I thought she wasn't here." And then Casey's really obnoxious. She's like, "Steven didn't tell any of us that she was coming, so it's confusing to see her here. I mean, even though Callie and I did make up, I'm going to be raising a McBee. So no matter what happens, I can't side with Calla. I'm a McBee, and I'm going to have to stay, have my side with them from now on." I'm like, are you in Oklahoma? Is this like the cowman and the farmer can't be friends or something like that? Like, what is this? Like, what is this ridiculous, like, I'm raising a McBee. I gotta always take the McBee side. I can't think for myself anymore.
Yeah, this is the most boring West Side Story. It's like my theory is that the men, probably Cole and Steven, are so anti the women having any sort of friendship that they do anything that they can to tell Casey to 100%. Hate on Calla.
100%. It is a divide and conquer situation, which is why the men rule the roost on this show.
And why Casey always has dead eyes when she talks, because she's just picturing what the men have told her before the cameras are rolling.
Either that, or she just drank a lot of body armor.
Or the potassium from the body armor is making her have another panic attack. Jesus.
She can't handle it like the way a city girl can, like Allie. So Allie comes in her stilettos and her mink stole, because she's a city girl. And
I got this at the big store in the city. It's called Marshall's.
And she's like, "Well, I don't know if she's even invited, but at this point it's hard to keep up. Are they together? Are they not together? It changes every day." Well, settle down, Miss Lady with Two Houses. We don't know where you are. You know, I'm sure you wouldn't like it if Calla was like, "I don't know where house she's at any day, because it changes every single day." So settle down. This is an example of a hot take that I'm taking that I really don't care about. I'm like, see, I just started up again. I'm like, see, how could she say that about Calla?
How could she? No, I co-sign it, though. I mean, like, at least Allie is sort of a bitch. She's still boring, but sort. My hot take is that Allie is, I think, if they get another season, we'll see the bitchery of Allie start to grow.
Allie is also the one I could see myself getting along best with, not just because she's a city girl, as am I, but there's something about her that I think it is that undercurrent of bitchiness that I actually connect with very well. You know?
Yeah, I think so.
It's like one of my fatal flaws is that I am drawn to sometimes these people like Allie, or like, you know, like one of the things I really have a hard time admitting is that like I could see myself being friends with Janet on The Valley. And
That's tough.
Because I'm like sort of like drawn to like that sort of behavior sometimes. And it's like it's a really bad part of me.
But it's less about you and more about like those people are also can be drawn to you because you are like a grounded kind soul. Like my husband, Matt, sometimes would find himself with like girly friends who are a little more chaotic because he is so grounded. And so I think that's maybe you just tend to...
I think what it is it's not so much that I don't feel like I I actually like anyone who's chaotic. I like don't deal with them because I don't like chaos. But what I do like is like a quiet kiki moment with like gossiping, and like that's gonna be Janet and Allie.
Oh,
but
the thing is
because they're probably really good with like a gossipy moment, but then they're really bad with boundaries. They don't really have like time and place, and then they wind up being terrible people. You know,
right?
It's hard. Life is hard. They're just like setting up this gender reveal and everything. I like this detail that our note taker included, said Callum moves the table with an antler on it.
right after the balloon pop scares Calla.
She does the most basic thing. Oh my god, a balloon.
Sorry, everyone, that really scared me. And then we hear more of that scary music. Why are you
here? Let me move this table with an antler just to dissolve the tension here. Guys, it's official. The antler's in a different location now.
And they're still silent. Why did you ask to be let in this room?
She's like a terrible vampire. She's like not even killing anyone yet. She's like moving antlers around. She's like, I'm sorry. I just have like, before I like unleash my evilness on all of you guys, I just want the decor to look right.
She doesn't want to suck blood. She just wants to go back in the shower with Steven.
Yeah, she's really failing at this. It's also daytime, I'd like to point out. She would be a vampire to compare to daytime.
That's
like,
true.
Guys.
I forgot the rules, you guys. I'm so fucking annoying.
Actually, I don't know if you hear about it. Like, people talk a lot about vampire facials, but actually for vampires, a really good facial is actually a sun facial. So what you do is expose yourself to the sun a little bit and it peels off the first layer of skin. And I know that we don't really age, but if we want to still look younger, it's still a good way to do it.
Well, the vampires do things a little differently in Dallas because I actually am from the bigger city.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a vampire do the splits? Yeah, we can do them really well.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So they're still all marveling that they can't believe that Cal is at the gender reveal. Who would believe? Oh, because Christy shows up. Christy, formerly known as Roxanne on this podcast. Now we have her name, Christy.
Christy.
She shows up. I like Christy's version of coldness because she's really cold to Calla. She's like, hey.
Oh, I think Christy is the saving grace of the show. I think that she's the only person with emotional intelligence, and that it's clear why all of her sons have such mommy issues is because they basically have like an absent father who manipulates them, puts them through warfare like to hate each other. And then Christy actually has like her head on her shoulders. I'm team Christy.
Yeah. I love that she started up a new company and is like killing it with the company. Like,
yeah, and then she's driving what a Lamborghini they say or Ferrari or something. I'm like, that's
I guess it's great.
And she's probably in Kansas City, so I kind of am obsessed with like a Kansas City mogul.
I know. I love that for I love a strong, powerful woman.
Me too.
And I like her perky coldness towards Kyle. She goes, hey. And like that's it. And it's just like there's something in that like little smile, like, I'm not gonna talk to you for the rest of the party, but I am going to acknowledge your presence. I see you move my antler, and I'm gonna ask you to move the antler back, please. I had placed that table with the antler in a specific place. It's not yours to touch. You're not part of this family. You shouldn't even be here. Okay. That was all said in that smile.
I was gonna say, don't get between a Southern woman and a bit of a passive aggressive comment through a smile. It's the most devastating feeling to be on the other side of that.
So you move the antler, I see.
Why am I so scared?
So Steven explains that Cal's just going to be here for a little bit longer until she gets her apartment, you know. And they're all like, really? Why? I mean, aren't there a lot of apartments in Dallas? Okay. I love Casey's parents who arrive because they announce themselves. Literally, the grandma walks in, grandma's here. I was like, okay, she is ready.
My in-laws are in Georgia, and that reminded me of like the grandparents in Georgia whom I love. I think I make fun of the South and Missouri as I'm legally allowed to do, but I do love a Southern grandparent. There's nothing like them. Mm.
Did you watch Beverly Hills this past season?
I did.
Sunstrack's mother from Augusta.
Well, that is a different. she scares me. She scares me.
She was wonderful. She was just the best. Like, we need Vera on every single season, and I need Vera now to put her attention on Kyle and just scare the shit out of Kyle.
I agree. But I think also if we're comparing McBee Dynasty to Beverly Hills, the reason why this show is so bad is because every single person is acting. Grandma's not. I think she announces grandma's here every time she enters any room.
That was authentic.
Yeah, that was authentic. But everything else is so acting. Whereas Sutton's mom on Beverly Hills, she did not care a camera was there.
No, that was authentic disappointment and disdain. It was wonderful. You could feel it. So Cole announces to everyone, hey, we're going to go back out. We're going to watch this helicopter fly over. So whatever color comes out, that's the color of the kid. So they're like, color of the kid.
Sorry. That's the font of the flyer. Sorry.
It's the gender. Okay. The gender, the color of the gender. Okay. So they're a bit, everyone's hoping that that Cole winds up with a girl. Because they know that he's like a dick and
he hates women.
So this will be the ultimate trolling as he winds up with a girl. I'm like, well, that's great for that girl. Love to hear that. So the helicopter comes flying over and then it hovers and then they just like spray out all sorts of pink smoke. And I was like, wow, they're having a gay boy. Congratulations.
You're having a boy who loves Wicked.
I'm surprised with NBCU. I'm surprised it wasn't green and pink coming out. And then Cynthia Erivo is like, she's like, it's me. Congratulations. Welcome to the Wicked Experience brought to you by McBee Dynasty.
Listen, we can only be so lucky to have a Wicked. I mean, when the new Wicked movie comes out and that press tour starts up again, we will be seeing a McBee Dynasty crossover.
I'm not sure the press tour has ever ended because they are putting Cynthia Erivo everywhere. I mean, everything is Wicked. It's still everything Wicked. I just heard that there's going to be a Wicked something or another at the end of the month. She's like, she has like all over Poker Face. She's doing Jesus Christ Superstar in a few weeks.
I need to see that. Yeah. Can I tell you that I auditioned for one of the Wicked commercials where they're at Target? It was a Target commercial. And I did not book, but they didn't say what it was for, except we had to sing right. But like sang different things, so yeah, maybe for Wicked.
But that's too. Okay, because you got to be in a different commercial with, you were walking in a door, right? Who was it? It was a celebrity who was in that commercial.
Issa Rae.
Did she actually film with you guys, or was it like composited, like digitally?
So it was a TurboTax commercial for the Super Bowl
commercial.
Yeah. And I ended up being in about what, half of a second of the final cut, but she had a body double there for every single shot, except for when we actually rolled. She did show up and looked stunning and collected her paycheck. But yeah, she had like a 2 or 3 day shoot for a TurboTax commercial for the Super Bowl. Yeah. TurboTax,
more like slow boat tax, 2 to 3 days. I mean, come on now.
I like
you
that.
Can use that in your show, by the
and
way.
I will. Feel free. I'm gonna get a full segment on my TurboTax.
Do a whole bit. Okay. I would love to have a bit part in a commercial. Like that would be my dream. You know, I have a SAG card. I've had a SAG card for 20 years because I appeared on something once. I appeared on a panel for the Fox reality. Fox used to have a reality TV network. And so I used to appear on this panel talking about reality TV, and I had to get an AFTRA. They signed me up with AFTRA because of it, because they were like an AFTRA signatory, and then AFTRA merged with SAG. And so now I got kind of grandfathered into a SAG. I've had a SAG card for 20 years.
Do you get screeners?
I get screeners because I was told, like, once you're in one of these guilds, you never want to, you want to stay in. It's like so hard to get in.
So you pay your dues every year.
I pay my dues, and I basically got backdoored into having a SAG card. And then of course I'm an obnoxious. This is where the Janet side of me comes in when people talk about like, I'm so close to getting my SAG card. I'm like, got one. You need to work for it.
I'm just impressed that you're able to keep up with your dues for all those years. But listen, I think you and I are going to find ourselves in another television program together, and we're going to hold our SAG cards in every shot.
I would love to do that. Maybe there should be a commercial for SAG, and we'd be like, guys, as representatives of SAG, we are.
I'm an actor. My name is Eric. My name is Ben, and I'm an actor.
Please cast us in a commercial. I just want to be in the corner of a commercial somewhere. I don't have to be lead. I can just be one of those people walking in the back of a Claritin commercial, and I'll hold like a pinwheel, and I'll be like,
something tells me you're going to book. I think you're going to book.
Well, one can only dream. One can only dream. I want to be booked and blessed someday. I want to be in a Claritin commercial. I've decided that's my new dream. And you know, it should be, and you should be in one too. And Ronnie as well. I'd like to add, because Ronnie is an actual actor, as are you. So
no, yeah, Ronnie should be the lead of the Claritin, and then I'll be this depressed person in the back.
And you know what? I say bring back Joan London. Joan London used to do these great Claritin commercials. Let's bring back Joan London. The three of us will be doing a picnic, balloon overhead. We're breathing right because we can breathe nicely with allergies. I love this vision for us.
I do too.
Yeah. And one thing we will not be breathing in are fumes from a helicopter that's doing a gender reveal over our head. That is a fate reserved for these people because that's what they're watching right now.
When the smoke actually comes out, do we see a quick cut of Cole like looking devastated? I saw it in a teaser, but is it in the actual episode?
I don't remember, but let's just say like, he was.
Yeah, because in a teaser he definitely goes like there's like or like next, and they show the pink, and then he's like, or they show the preview clip and he's like really pissed. That's what really makes me angry when I see gender reveals on TikTok and they find out it's a girl and the dad is angry. That makes me so pissed.
Yeah, because they know it's harder to be an absentee father to a little girl than to a little boy.
Exactly. Yeah. God forbid you have to show a single emotion.
So then Cole has a totally normal reaction. He goes, well, we got to paint one of the tractors pink. Like, that makes no sense. That's fine. I mean, maybe, again, we could tie in. It works.
And then they say the name of the baby, which I thought, I don't know if it's like, not to keep bringing up my Judaism, but it's sort of there's like a what's the word? It's
taboo, superstition.
Thank like you. There's a superstition that you don't say the name until the baby's born. But right away, he's like Blair, and then Blair. My favorite thing, Calla goes, ah, I love that name. Does Blair? I mean, Blair's a great name, but does Blair?
We love our Blairs. We love the Blairs in the audience. But Calla, like, losing her mind. I guess if you're named Calla, you're really so excited by any name that's not Calla. True. You're like, oh my God, a normal name. I love it.
We love. But it is a reaction you're supposed to have when anybody tells you the name of their child. So you know what? I give her that.
Yeah. And then Christy's like, oh, you're going to be an awesome, awesome girl dad. Which, by the way, if I hear the phrase girl dad one more time, I'm literally like, I don't know if I can deal with it anymore. It's like one of my least favorite things that ever happened is I'm a girl dad. She's a girl dad. He's a girl dad. But Cole's like, he's like, yeah, by the way, everyone, thanks for coming. And if anyone wants anything inside, pizza's there. I'm like, don't fool those people. Cause we know what kind of pizza it is that's inside. Fruit pizza.
What sort of pizza? Oh.
I was like,
my dumbass was like, Little Caesars.
You're like, were we talking about a pizza at any point? But that just goes to show how inauthentic fruit pizza is. That doesn't even lodge into your brain as a type of pizza.
And it also goes to show that I'm smoking too much weed, but that's not the point.
So anyway, I'm going to move this along, okay? Because I can't deal with this gender reveal any longer. Yeah, so they are, now it's big news has happened. So while they are there celebrating the gender reveal and the fruit pizzas, a phone call comes through. Someone left the door open at the chicken coop at dad's house. And for some reason, all the brothers have to hop in their pickup truck and head over to dad's house to see what's going on with there. So they head on over and it appears as though Galena has unleashed her wrath at the house, at the lodge. And the women are like, why are you seriously leaving this party? You're leaving the party for your daughter to go check in on this. And they're like, sorry, we have to because dad says so, which is bullshit. Just goes to show how these people are shitty. And so they head on over there and they get there and the chickens, the chickens are they're supposed to be 13 chickens. They're not 13 chickens anymore.
Which I was expecting to see tumbleweed and a chicken and a half, but they cut to full roost.
A pretty thriving coop, I would have to say. Yeah, like I've thrown parties here in Los Angeles that weren't as well attended as that chicken coop.
Yeah, like I went to a pool party where the gays had chickens at the pool party, and that coop and this coop looked equally healthily full of chickens. This one was not an empty coop.
So Yeah, I was expecting blood. I was expecting guts. I was expecting like to see some foxes in there. Who knows what? And so then they're counting up the chickens, and they're like, "Okay, I think we got like 9 or 10." So they call up Masha, and Masha, and Steven's being wacky. He's like, "Okay, I'm gonna call Masha. Here, take the phone. Hot potato." I'm like, "Oh, you're a funny man there." So this is when Masha's on the FaceTime, and she's like, "So do you see a gray chicken that is named Pumpkin? Pumpkin." Why is she naming the gray chicken Pumpkin?
Yeah, Steven goes, she has a name for everyone. But listen, I think Pumpkin is kind of a cute name for a chicken. Sorry, that's my hot take.
It is a cute name for a chicken, but like maybe an orange chicken. But why a gray chicken? What sort of pumpkins has Masha been growing up with?
Well, gray in Russian means orange.
In Russia, we are not allowed to have color. So
the world is black and white, and so I see Pumpkin.
These remind me, in Russia we didn't have pumpkin, we have rock, but I would pretend the rock was my pumpkin. So I call, if I see things that look like a rock, I say pumpkin. So this chicken looked like a rock, gray rock.
And then she goes, pumpkin. And then she goes, what about the babies? How many babies? Well, how many are there supposed to be? Supposed to be 13 little babies. Can you guys help me, please? She's fully reading her notes up on her phone.
She doesn't know how many chickens there are in that place. She doesn't. She just got there. She's not attached to any of those chickens yet. She is fully lying right now. Fully lying. So they go inside and they go into the kitchen and there's a frying pan that is destroyed. I mean, it is bent and warped and like it has been used to smash things up. And it is really bad. And they're like, what is this been used on? And they're walking around and it turns out that, allegedly, Galina has been going around smashing Steven's cowboy hats in.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think so. His hats were all smashed.
Oh, see.
And you know, a cowboy hat, those are expensive.
Right. Oh, I guess, see. So, yeah, everyone. Yeah, I thought it was so funny that they were, like, unable to find what was actually smashed. But is a cowboy hat strong enough to make that dent on an actual pan?
I would say no. But what I'm going to assume is the cowboy hat was placed on a surface that was strong. And so when she's banging down.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was the surface that was, yeah. It was
physics was not my best subject. It's my favorite thing, too, is that we, again, have no single evidence that Galina did any of this.
No. But she's also got a terrible poker face because she keeps on laughing to herself. She's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
Banging the car.
Yeah, she's got like a sucking candy in there. So now they're looking around. It's a disaster. And so Steven he calls Galina and he's like, what the fuck happened in the lodge? Where's all the Masha stuff? She's like, I don't know. Where's the makeup? I don't know. Maybe pantry is what I assume. I did not touch it. Well, where are your clothes? I don't know. I assume that they are in trash bag covered in rat blood. Maybe burned on fire. Just guessing. I would not know because I wasn't there.
And then she goes, I don't even care about her shit, but isn't she on vacation right now with your father? My favorite thing about Galina, too, is that she is the way that she curses.
Could you please give an example of her cursing?
I'm going to ruin that fucking horse life. It's just there's something about the way that she says whore, bitch, shit. I love hearing it in a Russian accent.
It kind of gurgles up outside of her. Like when she doesn't just say whore, she's whore. It's like she's building up momentum inside of her throat and then just spits it out onto the.
And I do think that she, without cameras, is crazy. I do think that I do buy it from her.
100%. Yeah. So then we go over to Jesse and Allie's farmhouse and she forgot her work computer back at the city house. I mean, what's a city girl to do? You're at your laptop in the country. I mean, she might have to go all the way back there, the big city life, to get that laptop back. But they basically have a whole conversation where he's like, yeah, I don't think we should keep the city house because I'm not going to live there. I'm a man. I'm going to call the shots and I'm needed on the farm. So guess what? We're closing up the house and you can't stay there. Otherwise, I'm going to break up with you.
Like the ultimatum I think Allie should leave him, but I don't think there's any world that she will.
She won't. You can see she is really upset. She's like basically swallowing her rage and her sadness. And yeah, she says, well, I'm going to go do some work, which we know is a lie because she left her work laptop back in the big city. So, you know, I feel bad for her. She should leave him. This is not the man for you. You want a man who's going to, you don't want a man who's going to build you a house and then take it away from you. You know?
No, oh my God. And also like a really cute house to give you the, basically house. Giving her the life that she always dreamt of in the big city where she gets to get her nails mm-hmm. done. And then to take, they probably lived there for like a year. And then he's going to mm-hmm. now say, I won't marry you. Cause that's what's next, right? Is that there's like an ultimatum. He won't get married mm-hmm. unless they sell the house.
I think, yeah. Until she gives in to like the farmer lifestyle that she doesn't want to have anymore. Which is real shitty for this hairless man to be asking of his,
thank you,
of his betrothed, right?
Thank you. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe grow some hair and we can discuss, but until you grow some hair.
And then become a B-E-A-R.
Yeah. Go from bear to bear. You know what I'm saying? So then we go to Steven and he's driving and this is where he does a lot of his anger acting is when he's driving and he's calling Galina and Galina's not answering. And it's like, are you kidding me? I mean, hey, okay, Kara, have you heard from Galina? And Kara goes, I have not, which is like that's her big line that she says. She's really good at landing that line.
And she remembered her line. She did not have to bang on that piano.
I know. Ugh, I wish I could be like Kara. If only I had her energy back in sixth grade.
But she only had three words and you had a full monologue, really.
That's true. So that he gets to the office and Galina walks in and she starts going like upstairs and Steven's like right there. It's like, it's not a big office. And he's like, Galina. And she just ignores him. he has to chase her down. And then she's like, Oh, I did not see you there. Are you making some avocado toast?
Where have you been?
What do you mean? Where have I been? Russia.
You know what's actually devastating about this is that during this fight where he's like telling her that she has not been anywhere, she gives like a very heartfelt plea where she's like, I deserve a day off. I deserve to grieve this man. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. That's where it pulls at my heartstrings more than I thought than it would. Because I'm like, this woman actually put her whole life into the villain of this farm's world. She was completely convinced that she would be with him for the rest of her life.
She thought she would be the last one that he would break up with someone for. And it turns out she was not the last one. But you know how you get him is how you lose him, as they say.
Yeah, she goes, I'm still a human being and you cannot mess with my head like that. You know how it affected me. And then on top of everything else, he went with my friend that made me lose my trust, period. Like, I feel for her. She's giving Chekhov.
I do feel for her, but this also happened a little while ago. And so she should have taken her day off then. I mean,
true.
Ted Lasso barbecue sauce company needs its meat. Okay. And also you have to like announce your sick days. You can't just like go dark, even though it gives Steven a chance to say she's gone dark a million times. So, but she's feeling really sad and she's giving a very Gen Z response. I mean, like, I couldn't come to work today. It was like really emotional. But he's like, oh, I don't care. I don't care what's going on between my dad, Masha, and you. Okay. Cause now the Arthur Bryant deal are actually business is going to hell in a handbasket.
Oh, you know, with handbaskets, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was thinking that we should get involved with the handbasket business.
Tessa, now is not the time. Okay. What's going on? Are you going to be able to continue? At what point? What's going on with you, Galina? And she's basically like, well, maybe you should start questioning your father and what he is doing, you know, because I'm human. And, you know, like when you're spending so much time with a person, it tells you love you, etc. And so she's going on and on about like all this stuff. And then because she's crafty, you know, he says, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't. I'm starting to question whether keeping you on is the right decision. And she's basically like, oh, you can't fire me because I know where all the bodies are buried.
Mm-hmm.
And she essentially says, oh, that was low blow because, you know, after everything going on the last couple of years and you brought me to this point. I mean, and don't even start me on FBI investigation, Bravo Television. And he's like, God damn it.
Come here.
God damn it. come here. Get in here. We're going. I'm taking off this microphone right now. We're going to have a conversation behind this closed door that the cameras will definitely not be able to pick up.
And then he spells it out. My dad is under FBI investigation, and you are the only one in my mom that even know what's going on. So that has to stay between us about the investigation going on with the FBI, between my dad and the FBI. That cannot be told between anyone between us and the FBI.
It keeps cutting to Kara, the receptionist, being like, oh, like pretend,
mugging,
just doing Wordle, Wordle. It's fine.
Let me try adieu. A D I E U. A lot of vowels.
Oh, God. I didn't really quite get to that fifth letter, did I? So, ideas. There, nailed it. So, basically, yeah, the cliffhanger that comes out is that they're under FBI investigation. And who knows what will happen. Even the brothers don't know about it. But now it has to all come out because Galina opened her mouth. And it was not expected at all whatsoever. So that was the end of McBee Dynasty this episode. Eric, thank you so much for joining on this very important piece of television.
Listen, it's an honor to recap the next big thing on Bravo, the McBee Dynasty. And I just want to say that there no one ever would ever fill in Ronnie Karam's shoes. But it was an honor to be able to talk to you, Ben, on this gorgeous podcast.
Well, thank you. And it was an honor to talk with you because you are a superstar and you are going to be bigger than all of us soon enough, especially once both of us get cast in a Claritin commercial. So really looking forward to that. Everyone, please go buy tickets to Eric's show. Where can they get the tickets, by the way? Is there
right on my Instagram bio? My Instagram is Eric Wills, ericwillz, and you can also listen to my podcast from there. That's a gay ass podcast.
Fantastic. Well, we love to see it. I hope everyone who's in New York goes and sees it on Thursday. And if you can't go on Thursday, then go listen to Eric's podcast because it's awesome and hilarious. And there's lots of entertaining people that go on there, including Lisa Rinna and other stars that you may or may not know. So go check that out. Eric, you are always a pleasure and you'll have to come back as soon as possible. Thanks for being here.
Anytime. Thanks, Ben.
Bye, everyone.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
My favorite Murdo,
Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Talifson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.